And we're live.
Hello and welcome back to a bonus episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
My name is Tim Costa.
This is Walter Vinci.
And Hermano De Silva.
What we like to do on the FTW podcast is find a movie that none of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. However, this being a bonus episode, we will be discussing our top five movies of the year of 2013 so far. Before we get into it, anything you guys want to say about this year so far?
This year, to this point, has been utter shit.
Okay.
Where do you see my top five? Wait. It's I am just disappointed and at times angry with what I've been getting in the box office and going to see. It's been garbage, just total garbage. And my top five reflects that. Just shit all around.
Interesting.
I'm hoping for a better second half.
Okay, Hermano?
I'm not going to be quite as harsh as Wally was. I feel like by this point last year, I had like 3 to 4 movies that, you know, were in my top 10 at the end of the year. I'm not sure that's going to be the case this year. I was able to get exactly 5 movies so far this year. No more, no less. There won't be any, you know, this almost made my top 5. Because everything else I've seen has been kind of crappy.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not as harsh as you guys. However, I was struggling to figure out what would be like my number one until very recently. But there have been a bunch of movies that I've, you know, enjoyed overall, but I don't think I would consider top list worthy. So, like I said, until recently, it took me a while to figure out how this list was going to go. And luckily, we're only halfway through the year.
Thank God. Well, this next half had better be good. I'm looking at you, Pacific Rim. You need to kick off the second half.
Well, on that note, Wally, why don't you go first? You're right, number 5.
I don't really have any in my particular order because I have really...
That's right. You guys don't do any work. I'm the one that actually does work.
I eschew order is what I do. I'm going to start off with John Dies at the End.
Okay.
Was this not familiar? Because it was my best of top of 2012, but it finally got a theatrical release in 2013. This is because everything I've seen to this point has sucked. John Dies at the End, I loved it. I had a lot of fun with this movie. I enjoyed it very, very much. It's weird. It's certainly different.
Yeah.
It's not like anything else you're probably going to see, you know, outside of anything, you know, major. But I really loved it. I actually have it on DVD and watched it again specifically for this top five list, so I could have something good to talk about 2013 so far.
Okay. Now you have it as your quote unquote number 5 only because of the 2012-2013 crossover?
Yeah, it's the only reason I never tried, because I couldn't find another spot to fit the 5 slot. I couldn't find another movie.
Okay. That's funny. Hermano, your number 5?
My number 5 is VHS 2. I just watched it recently. I loved the first one, and I like the second one quite a bit. I think if you've seen the first one and you dug, you know, kind of small-budget horror movies... kind of in the creep show / Tales from the Crypt aesthetic, you'll dig VHS 2. But if you thought the framing story in the first one was bad, you are gonna poop your pants when you see the framing story in the second one, because it is pretty awful. But the segments themselves I think are pretty solid, so VHS 2 is my number 5.
All right, my number 5 was a contentious one when we reviewed it, and that's Evil Dead. You know, despite my dislike for remakes overall, I think this one kind of gets it right. It does a great job of being original enough while paying homage to the original on its own. I love the gore, great gore, and a good amount of scary moments, especially the end. I don't think I've seen that much blood, maybe ever, in a film. It does have some stiff acting by a couple of the actors, but I think by the end they come around, especially when you realize who the real protagonist is. You know, I was really surprised by this movie. I really dug it. So that's my number 5, Evil Dead. Wally, your number 4.
My number 4 is a movie that was not released in theaters. It's Behind the Candelabra. I believe Steven Soderbergh directed this. It is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It had me engaged from start to finish. Even knowing what the overarching story is, like, not to die, read about all this. Like, knowing, you know, what happened, you know, between, you know, Scott Thorson and Liberace, you know, like, seeing like some of the more detailed stuff that goes on there. I sat through this and I enjoyed every minute of it. My only complaint really was I could only see Michael Douglas every single time Liberace showed up. I'm like, that's Michael Douglas with a wig. Hmm. Like, he's not like, I know some people say he melts into his role, but he's still kind of Glenford. Maybe because it is Michael Douglas. He's got that kind of face that you can recognize easily. That might have been it. But yeah, this movie is fantastic. If you haven't seen it yet, do yourself a favor and check it out. I loved it. It's great. Number four.
Hermano?
Well, it just made me very upset because he reminded me that Behind the Candelabra came out this year.
I completely forgot!
You need to take a moment.
So you have a movie that just missed your top five there.
I do have one that just missed my top five. I will not go back and fix my top five. I'm going to stick with what I got. And for number four, I'm about to make Wally very mad. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Wow. Wow.
Thankfully, I don't have the knowledge base that most people that had a problem with this movie do, because I was not a Star Trek fan before the J.J. Abrams movies came out. I had barely watched any of the other Star Trek films. I had never watched the TV series. So I was able to sit down and just watch these movies and enjoy them on their own.
I'm jealous of you.
Yeah, I know. I really wish I didn't have such an attachment to the previous movies.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm a little jealous.
I really wonder what my viewing experience would
be. Yeah, exactly.
I still gave it a pretty high grade, but I'm curious. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, based on what you guys were not nitpicking, but just,
blaming
things that are wrong, and this is not right, and this character doesn't do this. I didn't have any of that. I was just able to sit down and enjoy character interactions. I felt like I was kind of meeting these characters for the first time because, I mean, obviously I knew who they were because they're so steeped in, like, pop culture, but I really dug the movie. I thought it was fun. I thought there was some good action in it. Tonally, it was good. It had some dramatic moments. There were some comedic moments. I thought they all balanced really well, so I had a lot of fun, so it's my number four.
My number four is the same exact as Wally's. That's Behind the Candelabra. And this is actually the first of two Soderbergh movies on my list. Great direction, great photography that really establishes the time period very well.
Yes.
Great performances on all fronts. I didn't have as much of a problem with Michael Douglas as you did.
Yeah, I said that I could see him.
No, I can see that. But he
had
a great job.
His performance is fantastic.
He did a great job with his voice, though. Yeah. I think enough to be able to disguise himself.
Yeah. I still think he might disguise a recognizable face to me.
Well, you know, he's changed so much, especially with his health though, over the past few years, that he looks almost like a completely different person than he did in Fatal Attraction, if you will. You know?
Or even Wall Street 2.
But I think the standout performance in this is Matt Damon, and also let's not forget Rob Lowe.
Oh, Rob Lowe's awesome.
I think it has some of the best makeup in a film this year.
Yes.
And it could have easily been a wide release film if any studio had the balls to distribute it. You know?
Yeah, it could have been.
Right. But yeah, that like you said, Wally, I'm pretty much with you on everything that you had said. So my number four, Behind the Candelabra. Wally, your number three.
Cannot about make both of you angry by saying World War Z. Because I really enjoyed this movie. And the more I marinate it and think about it, the more I still enjoy this movie. It gave me a different look at a zombie movie. I mean, it's bloodless. Sure, you don't see any like zombies eating people. But I love the viral motion of the zombie hordes. When they attack, they move. People say they move like ants, but I think they move more like a virus would move. Like when you see like blood flowing, especially like one scene that I thought of was Samsara. When the zombies are attacking, when you see that scene where they're in Mecca and you see people just like walking around,
mm-hmm.
That thing, it actually looks like water, and it kind of reminded me of that kind of like watery movement with the zombies. That's kind of how they go. And the third act, it's got some problems in the third act. This movie probably won't make my top 10. If it does, I mean, it may make an honorable mention, but for a top 5 of the year so far, it's in there.
Hermano, you're number 3?
I just looked at the next two on my list, and I believe Wally's going to be my mortal enemy by the end of this episode. My number 3 is Fast 6.
I can't say I hated Fast. I just couldn't, like, I had no attachment to any of the characters. It was like, I went to go see a movie, and there's a history there that I don't have that, any of that history. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. And I do have that history because I've seen every single one of the Fast and Furious movies that preceded this one. It's probably the most fun I've had in the theater all year. It was exactly everything I expected it to be. It was more of the craziness. It carried over from the fifth one and just carried over and just somehow even surpassed that craziness. I genuinely like all the characters. Some of them are just really buffoonish, like Tyrese and Paul Walker to an extent. But for some reason, man, this movie has some kind of hypnotic effect on me because everything that I should hate about this movie, for some reason, I like. And I don't know, I it's my number three, so they're doing something right.
We have more crossover. My number three is also Fast 6. Of all the summer films this year, this is the one that sticks out the most to me. It is the most fun and has quickly become one of the best modern franchises, I think. It's really remarkable. The action scenes are crazy. They only build up in intensity and ridiculousness as the film goes along. It ends up being actually rather emotional by the end, you know? Especially if you have that connection to the other films.
Yeah,
I mean, you know? And not to mention building a mythos that kind of that no one ever saw coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really remarkable what they've done with the past two films and how they are leading into the seventh film.
This franchise was potentially dead. Like,
yeah.
I think the third one was supposed to be the final movie. Like, it was low budget, smaller budget than the other ones, and they resurrected it somehow to the point where it's, like, making $500 million worldwide. Like, it's insane, this franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Wally, you're number two?
All right, well, seeing I'm sticking with my theme of the first half of 2013, second, we're going to roll the clocks back to 1985 and go with Top Gun's release in 3D.
I fucking knew it. I knew that this was going to happen.
Nothing else has been noteworthy
for
me.
Oh my God, what a cheat.
Oh,
I'm going on record right now and saying you are cheating.
I'm not cheating. It was released in 2013.
Tim is going to place 1985. Tim is going to place an imaginary asterisk next to your pick.
Yes.
No.
Say the title again in case anybody missed it.
It is Top Gun in IMAX 3D. And there's no shame in my game by saying Top Gun is my favorite movie of all time. And seeing it around my birthday with the IMAX 3D treatment was a giant present. Thank you, Hollywood, for at least giving me this to get me through this first half of the year. I think that some of the 3D scenes, they could have been a little bit better. Some of it just looked like with the blow up to IMAX. Some of the scenes still seem really grainy. Like, in fact, my Blu-ray seems sharper than what I saw on the IMAX screen. But to see Maverick and Goose again, Viper, Merlin, you know, get to see all these dudes again up on the big screen flying awesome jets. Tony Scott, this was awesome. So, yeah, Top Gun, 3D, IMAX. Shit, yes.
Cheater. Hermano, you're number two. I hope it's legitimate.
All right, Wally. I know you're fuming because of my last two picks. So when I say my number two, please try not to punch me through a building.
Oh, Jesus.
Man of Steel. Wally, I have no idea what movie you watched because Man of Steel was fucking awesome.
I have no idea what movie you watched. We saw two very different movies.
No, I I'm speechless. Like, this movie, it's the only movie I've seen so far that I've... this year that I am dying to see again. Like, as much as I liked Fast and Furious 6, I can wait till it comes out on Blu-ray. Man of Steel, I felt like I wanted to see it again right away. And I haven't had an opportunity. I'm dying to see it again. I loved Henry Cavill as Superman. I loved Zod. I thought all the characters were great. Some of them had more to do than others. I thought Lois Lane didn't have as much to do. Ma Kent didn't have as much to do. I loved the emotional... stuff in the movie. I loved the dark tone to it. I know you didn't appreciate that. You said that's uncharacteristic for Superman. I thought they did the best they could with that aesthetic to the movie, like trying to make Superman a darker story. I thought they did a great job. I love the movie through and through. Number two.
You know, it's interesting how everybody is still wondering, oh, is Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy going to... is it in the same universe as this new Superman movie where they're going to put into the Justice League and all that kind of stuff?
I don't know.
And I'm thinking to myself, there is no way that Dark Knight trilogy can be in this universe because that trilogy is way too grounded. to be in this Man of Steel universe, you know?
But you know what? Two very different characters. Batman's always lived in Gotham. Superman's always been in Metropolis.
I understand, but the worlds that they've built in those in Man of Steel and the Dark Knight trilogy, two completely different worlds.
Wait till you see Star City.
I think the only way they can make it happen is if everything that happened in the Batman trilogy is preceded what just happened in Man of Steel. That's the only way, because if Superman already exists in that world, there's no way that there would never be a mention or something. Like, Superman must have revealed himself after everything that's happened in the first three Batman movies.
Anyways,
nerd!
on to my number two, and it's the other Steven Soderbergh film from this year, and that's Side Effects. I think it's an extremely clever mystery that actually sticks with you a little bit after the film. Once again, he knows where to place the camera and how to get the best performances out of his actors. Rooney Mara, fantastic, as is Jude Law. He really stands out as someone who, you know, lets his work take a hold of him to the point where it becomes such an obsession that it really starts to affect his home life. I love how it transitions from character to character and there are stories in the plot. The plot is nice and twisty. You think it's going to be like Soderbergh's take on the pharmaceutical industry, but actually becomes something quite a bit different. So I think it's a good, almost you could say Hitchcockian thriller. You might be able to guess how it ends, but I don't think that ruins it. I think it's a really solid film that I think Hermano would care for more than you, Wally. But yeah, Side Effects.
Actually, this was one of the movies I actually wanted to see this year.
Yeah, it's my.
Because it didn't have a long enough run in the theaters, maybe I should be able to get a chance to go see it.
Yep.
But see, if you hate my number two pick, you're going to hate my number one pick.
Oh.
We're rolling the clocks back to 1990s. Jurassic Park 3D. Shit, yes. Jesus. And that's what put it over the top on Top Gun. The 3D in this movie is superior to Top Gun's 3D.
Two cheats in a row.
No, you didn't see it in the theater. You missed your chance, Tim.
I saw it back in 1993.
Yeah, but you didn't see it in 3D in 93. You didn't see it in IMAX 3D in 93.
But it's a 1993 film.
And it was released in 2013 as 3D IMAX. And I loved every shit minute of this. It was awesome.
A re-release.
No, it was so much fun to see all these things I remember seeing back when I was in high school.
What about when The Wizard of Oz gets re-released this year, later this year in 3D? And let's say you happen to go see it.
I am going
to
go see it when it gets re-released. I want to see what that translates to.
Is it going to make your top 10 list of the year?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
A 75-year-old movie?
Haven't seen it yet. Depends on what the rest of 2013 brings me.
God.
Tim, put your asterisk stamp away.
Jurassic Park 3D, yeah, you missed a chance to see it if you haven't seen it. It was absolutely fantastic. I actually had my breath taken away seeing some of these dinosaurs and the way it was done in 3D. Learned a little trick about the 3D glasses. When you turn your head sideways, it turns the 3D off. When you pick your head back up, it turns the 3D back on. That was kind of neat. And yeah, that's for now. Up to this point, these are my top five.
Hermano, you're number one.
My number one, we reviewed, and after I was done watching it, it was clearly my number one, because this movie was basically made for me. These are the type of movies I typically love, and that is The Place Beyond the Pines. I have a feeling that Tim will be talking about it right after me, because I know he liked it quite a bit as well. For people that don't know, because it's not a big, you know, movie that, I don't even know if it was in theaters, to be honest.
Yeah, it was.
For a very small run, I believe. Yeah, so stars Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, Dane DeHaan from Chronicle. It's just a fantastic movie. I mean, the type of movies that I usually go for, kind of the realistic, you know, like it's such a refreshing thing to watch a movie like this every once in a while, because around this time of year, you usually get nothing but big blockbusters and sci-fi this and superhero that, and every once in a while it's just so refreshing to watch a movie like this where it's just so grounded. It's just a really powerful story. I love the breakup of the movie where it's pretty much three different stories told in, I guess, three different time frames, and you follow pretty much three different characters in each of the stories. I loved all the crossover stuff between the stories. I thought the way it ended, I mean, the movie's kind of long, but it felt like it went by in a breeze for me, and I don't know, I just can't say enough great things about this movie. It's my number one.
My number one is a movie that came out in 2010, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Awesome.
No, right. that is patently false, because that movie sucks. Because
you're a hater.
My number one is The Place Beyond the Pines. I don't want to say too much about this film, because we will be releasing our review on it in a few weeks. All I will say is everything about this film is just about perfect. Directing, acting, editing, cinematography, score, production design. Love it. But you'll hear about that in a few weeks, like I said. Let's recap again our top five of the year so far. Wally, go first, please.
Let's see. We got John Dies at the End, Behind the Candelabra, World War Z, Top Gun, IMAX 3D, and Jurassic Park. Also IMAX 3D.
You left out the two asterisks after each of those.
There's no asterisks. They were released in 2013, man.
Thank you, Romano.
I was just kidding, by the way. Like what you like.
I do like what I like. And I'm damn proud of it. Sharknado. I can't wait for this movie. I can't wait to see this movie.
My number five. And by the way, Tim, these are in order.
Oh, shit.
VHS was my number five. Number
VHS
2? VHS 2, I'm sorry. Number four was Star Trek Into Darkness. Number three, Fast Six. Number two, Man of Steel. And number one, The Place Beyond the Pines.
And my top five go number five, Evil Dead. Number four, Behind the Candelabra. Number three, Fast Six. Number two, Side Effects. Number one, The Place Beyond the Pines. About the rest of this year, I know our individual most anticipated films haven't even come out yet.
Haven't come out yet.
Mine is Elysium.
And mine is Pacific Rim.
Mine is Only God Forgives.
So, obviously, we'll be reviewing those as they come out. But any other movies down the road that kind of stand out that you...
Actually, yes. One that I'm hoping I can see tonight, actually, before I go to bed. Hummingbird is now available on demand.
Which has been retitled...
to Redemption. It was driving me nuts because I'm seeing all these posters in my Facebook feed of, like, Jason Statham in Redemption. I'm like, are they releasing two movies, like, of his? And then I did some research. Like, oh, they just changed the name. But apparently it's available on demand. So I'm hoping I can see it tonight when I get home before I go to bed. If not, I'm going to stay and see it over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Hermano?
Pacific Rim coming up soon. Elysium. After seeing the trailer for The Counselor, I'm really looking forward to that based on the cast. Other than that, not off the top of my head. I can't think of anything else.
The only thing really that sticks out to me, I think, is The Wolf of Wall Street. That looks pretty good to me. But I mean, not a lot of the... Not many trailers for the last 3 months of the year have come out yet. So, but of course I can't wait for Elysium.
But that's why we have trailer hitches.
Exactly.
We can talk about those things when they do come out.
That's right. Oh, no, that's right. Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen Brothers film that comes out in December, I think. Or November, December. I don't remember, but that one looks pretty good. Okay, that does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers, and we post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. And you can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com.
Or follow us on our Tumblr page, firsttimewatchers.tumblr.com.
And please download our episodes on iTunes, and feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you have any suggestions of movies for us to watch, send a tweet, an email, or post on our Facebook page. Hey, you never know. It might make Wally's top 10 of the year from 1973 or something.
At least in 2013, man. I'm sticking to my guns. And I'd also like to hear from you people out there. What are your top 5 of 2013? We'd like to tweet it out to us at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com, or you can shoot us an email, and we'd like to go through those on the air.
Nice. And stay tuned for our next episode. It will be a great one, as usual.
Of course it is, because we're awesome. The First Time Watchers podcast, because we like to watch.